My small law firm from Baltimore County took on the world's largest corporation, Snyder declared when closing arguments finally arrived. Speaking of his homeowner clients, he continued, I was sort of floored by what I saw in this courtroom. I heard people's hearts pouring out, people breaking down on the witness stand, and I can be pretty tough, but there were times when I had to hold back the tears. At ExxonMobil, they do not have their priorities in order. Hopefully, you'll correct that. You heard their stories. They cried out to you. This is their avenue for change. This is their opportunity for justice. James Sanders spoke gently. He appealed to the jurors' sense of responsibility after they had invested so many days and hours in their roles as citizen judges. Here we are, he said, a big Texas corporation, international, profits that you have read about, all this other stuff. How do you treat us the same way that you treat people sitting out here in the audience? Man, that's tough. But you have to. That's what is really hard about this. You have to treat us fairly, as you have been treating me during this trial. If they felt sympathy for him as ExxonMobil's lawyer, if they liked and trusted him, they should apply that trust to their verdict and reject the fraud charge that Sanders told them was unjustified. ExxonMobil's vulnerability in the trial, its potential billion-dollar problem, lay with Snyder's emotive performance, his efforts to pull the jury into a change-the-world mindset, from where they could unleash their pent-up anger at Big Oil. Sanders, therefore, aligned himself with those in the jury who might admire Snyder's passion, and then he turned this sympathy for his opponent around. I like Mr. Snyder, Sanders said. I am fond of him. I respect his abilities, which are considerable. He is quite a character. He is an absolute handful, but you have to love him. But I don't agree with how he mangles the facts. In my wildest imagination, I would never have been able to come up with some of the theories that he has come up with in this case. It is ingenious, it is brilliant, it is wrong, but it is brilliant. The jurors filed into courtroom 2 after 12 days of deliberations. They announced their verdict, $150 million in actual damages and $0 in punitive damages. The verdict for actual damages was high. The jury awarded all of Snyder's clients 100% of the appraised value of their homes, even though some of them had sold their homes for hundreds of thousands of dollars, and none of the homes was appraised as worthless. Of the $150 million, $71 million was for emotional distress, $61 million for property loss, and the rest for the costs of future medical monitoring. Snyder was still looking for his first billion-dollar case. The jury's decision showed that proving intentional malice is an extremely uphill climb, he explained. James Sanders had told the jurors repeatedly during the trial that ExxonMobil would pay whatever they thought was fair by way of actual damages. Nonetheless, once the verdict was in, ExxonMobil rejected the jury's decision and declared it would appeal. This was ultimately Rex Tillerson's decision. He followed the legal strategies and policies bequeathed to him by Lee Raymond, and before Raymond, by corporate lawyers dating back to Standard Oil's defiance of antitrust reformers. Compensatory damages should not be so high as to essentially be punitive instead of truly compensating for actual harm caused by the spill, the corporation said in a statement. Judge Baldwin upheld the verdict on initial review, but ExxonMobil said it would appeal again. It would be years before the families around Jacksonville Exxon would see a dollar from the corporation, if ever. Don't mess with Texas, remained the ExxonMobil Law Department's ethos, and the corporation's strategists believed that if they made exceptions for one set of accident or tort victims, they would only be challenged and exploited by others, whether in Baltimore County or Aceh, Indonesia.